Ahmadinejad there in Azadi Square. Let's take a listen to what he's saying.
و جاودانگی آن رمز و شناخت فرهنگ و
an understanding of the ideas and lofty ideals of the Iranian nation. To have a better understanding of the truth behind the revolution, I think that we should understand the truth behind the creation of man. Undoubtedly, man is the supreme creation of God Almighty, and man is responsible to build the world and should be a manifestation of divine eternal life, both here and in the hereafter. Man should regard himself as the divine reincarnation of God's will, should be a reflection of God's compassion, kindness, forgiveness, strength, honor, light and vision, justice and love for other fellow human beings, as well as purity and beauty. And these will be only possible through interacting with other fellow human beings and acting upon our social responsibilities on the one hand, and also just being integrated into the divine realm of creation. A man without divine ideals would be desperate and incomplete. And a perfectionist man, a person who is looking for ideals, will require guidance and the guidance of the God Almighty. And a fellow human being who is connected to the Shiite Imam will always be in quest of perfection. A human being who has found himself and knows about his true position and insists on his will not given to the fall and will be undefeatable. The true secret of growth and development is being a perfect human being and to be connected to divine forces. And we should remember that the 12th Shiite Imam is God's grace for humanity. God has set 12th Shiite Imam as a true manifestation of all his qualities. My fellow countrymen and women, at the time when materialist ideas and personal quest for joy have somehow paled human dignity and lofty human objectives in becoming eternal, and at the time when we see that hatred has overshadowed all true human feelings and the compassion one has for his fellow human beings, the Islamic Revolution of Iran came into existence and tried to reclaim what is human and gave life to human beings again. Human beings and their capabilities and also their quest for perfection was merged with the ideals of Imam. And Imam's vision went beyond materialistic limits, and he had a better vision of man's perfection. And this itself means the realization of all the potentials. It means happiness. It means movement and progress. It means power and strength, and the fact that this great nation will never lose. In this vision, a pious man will be as tall as the heavens and will be relying on divine powers and will be able to remove all the obstacles before him. My fellow countrymen and women, from this perspective, man is the manifestation of all good qualities that God Almighty has given us. And when you have a group of pious people, it means that you have the manifestation of God's power, which means that this power will defeat all the opposing forces. The Islamic Revolution, although it started from Iran, and although it started from the hearts and the minds of the Iranians, it belongs to all nations and it belongs to all human beings. Wherever we are in the world, when we have a heart to be ready to be enlightened, then you have a place for this revolution, because this revolution came from the hearts of people and is based on human ideals. And naturally, it is global, and it will remain global. All the freedom-loving nations of the world, as well as the Iranian nation, we should remember that the revolution has had a lot of achievements for the Iranian nation, in addition to independence and unique freedom, in addition to reclaiming our national and human identity and reclaiming on our of Islamic and religious aspects. We have been able to make a lot of progress in other areas as a result of the resistance of this nation. In the course of the past 30 years, the Iranian nation has always been making progress. And in addition to that, the pace of progress has been accelerating. If for a few years we had a certain speed, in some other stage we tried to compensate for the rest and has been making progress much faster. I'm going to talk about a number of achievements we owe to the revolution. And of course, maybe later on in a special program, a national radio and TV program, to explain in full all these achievements we have had. In the scientific area, you know that the Iranian nation, that for centuries was in fact a point of reference for scientific circles, due to the presence of colonialist forces and puppet regimes, was left behind from this caravan of scientific progress in such a way that in none of the international rankings, Iran was mentioned and didn't have any significant position. But I'm going to present you with a number of indexes right now. Before the victory of the revolution, the civilized nation of Iran had the minimum level of knowledge and academic preparation. We had a low level and rate of literacy in our country. Literacy rate was less than 50%. And right now, due to the grace of God, we have literacy rate of more than 86%. In the year 1979, the number of students we had at universities was 176,000. In the year 2004, it was more than 2 million. And in the year 2008, it was 3.5 million. And it is now increasing in number, and you see the pace of development. Before the revolution, most of our patients were sent to abroad for treatment. In Tehran, we had thousands of foreign physicians providing treatment to Iranian patients, while we see that Iran has been one of the founders of the science of medicine. But right now, we see that we have, let's say, patients being sent to us from other countries for treatment. Iran has become a point of treatment and a center of treatment for many patients from other countries. We are right now manufacturing advanced medication for the treatment of certain hard-to-treat illnesses, for example, MS, for diabetes. We have very good treatments. We are able to repair the damage to a spinal cord, different types of heart surgery, brain surgery, and these are now routine in most of the provinces of our country. We have also the body organ plantations, and even for the liver, we are doing it right now. When it comes to stem cell and nanotechnology, we are among the first few countries in the world. When it comes to the number of papers we have been able to publish in prestigious academic journals, in the year 1979, it was 383, and in 2004, it was 3,000, and in 2008, it was more than 20,000 papers being published by Iranian scientists. This is an increasing pace of publications. The number of patents before the revolution, it was 841. In the course of the third development program, it was 4,600. And in the fourth development program, in the past 3 years, more than 20,000 patents have been recorded and registered. And we have lots of statistics to present you, and these are related to our scientific achievements. I will be presenting you with a comprehensive list later on. In the scientific area, I can say that right now, through the grace of God, there is no area of science which is not forbidden to our youth or something which is out of the reach of our youth. We have this self-confidence, scientific self-confidence for us. In the field of industry, let me present you with a number of facts and figures. The production of aluminum before the victory of the revolution was 25,000 tons per year. In the year 2004, it was 218,000 tons, and in the year 2008, it was 457,000 tons. So after the revolution, it has increased almost tenfold. And this is the pace of growth we have had. When it comes to copper, coal, cement, steel, and coke, we have similar statistics. The pace of investment in our country is accelerating. The annual average in the third program was 2,200 billion tumans. In the fourth program was 12,000 billion tumans. And this year, we have had 27,000 billion tumans of industrial projects being launched or implemented, or they will be operational by the end of current Iranian year. In telecommunications, we have had a revolution. In the year 1979, we had 570,000 subscribers. Right now, we have, in the year 2008, we have 69 million telephone subscribers. And also, when it comes to other communication networks, in villages 4 or 5 years ago, the cost for a cell phone was $1,000. Right now, this is something you can buy it yourself. You have to spend only $5 or $10. For the first time in the history of our country, we have insurance for villagers, and we launched this program in the year 2004, and we have 22.5 million villagers now being covered by our medical insurance. Of course, it's just the beginning of this move. When it comes to housing, the growth is gathering pace. In the year 2003, we had 2 million houses, and from 2005, we have 2,900,000 houses. And before 2004, it was less than 400,000 houses per year. After the revolution, we had 1,800,000 houses built through government assistance. And right now, we have 1,200,000 in the past 3 years. In the villages, we had 20,000 houses built during the third program. And in the fourth program, every year, we have built 160,000 houses being reconstructed. In the agricultural sector, the total output of the country in the year 76 and 77, it was 24 million tons. In the year 2007, it was 101 million tons. The number of big dams in the year 1978, it was 19 dams. And right now, in the year 2008, we have 211 dams, and 170 dams are now under construction, or feasibility studies are being done. Our electricity power plants output, it was 7,000 megawatts in 78, and right now, in the year 2008, it is 54,000 megawatts. In the oil and gas sector, I'm going to present you with two figures. The capacity, the petrochemical capacity of the country in the year 78 was 4 million tons. In the year 2004, it was 90 million tons, and right now is more than 45 million tons. The amount of investment in the oil sector, in spite of the pressures of the enemies, in the course of the past 3 years, from 2001 to 2004, it was $27 billion, and from 2004 up to now, and it is a time when the enemy was doing its best to halt all our oil projects, was $48 billion of investment. The economic growth of the country at the end of the third program was 5.5%, and for the fourth program is 6.5%. That is, the more pressure has been put on the Iranian nation, the pace of growth gathers pace. When it comes to tourism and culture, we see that the number of the projects we have had for housing tourists, it was 63,000 in the year 78. In the year 2004, it was 78,000. And in the year, by 2008, we have 103,000 beds added to our hotels. And when it comes to tourist spots, before the revolution, the figure was zero. We had nothing, no special tourist attraction. And by the year, and by the end of this year, we have 914 unique tourist destinations defined or now being designed. Something interesting to add here is that 385 villages are now defined as target tourist spots. When it comes to registering our tourist and historical sites, we have had 1,600 cases registered up to the year 2004. And of course, in the year, and by the year 2007, the figure was raised to 12,600 being registered and recorded. People who were talking about nationalism and being an Iranian could only record 1,600 instances of our national heritage, but up to now, we have been able to register more than 23,000 aspects of our national heritage. Two important historical sites have been recorded as World Heritage, Bistun, and 12 Christian churches And hopefully next year, we have Boqeh Sheikh Safi and Tabriz Bazaar will be added to the list. When it comes to development, if you look at the pace of development in our country, you see it has always been gathering momentum. In the course of the third program, and also part of the second program, that is, in the course of 8 years, on the whole, we had 29,500 billion tamans of development projects being implemented. And in the fourth program, we had more than 66,000 billion tamans of development projects. In the year 2008, we have had more than 40,000 development projects worth 19,000 billion tamans have been implemented. In the privatization sector, until the year 2005, we have 3,000 billion tamans of privatization, and up to now, we have more than 38,000 billion tamans of privatization. 22.5 million people have justice shares, and hopefully this figure will rise to 42 million. In non-oil exports, in our technical and vocational training, and in employment and job creation, I can present you with more facts and figures. When it comes to justice, social justice in the society, we have the same picture. I would like to ask for your permission to present you with these details later on in another opportunity. You see that in the course of the past 30 years, we have always been making progress and we have been gathering momentum. The Iranian nation has been making progress in all areas, from villages to urban centers, in science and culture, in industry and agriculture. And in all other areas, we see that we are gathering pace. And this nation is working and is making daily progress. Of course, we have a number of problems, and it is still the beginning of our journey. Problems will always be with us. The most important thing here is that determination to overcome problems, which fortunately we have it to its perfection in the Iranian nation. Now, in your presence, let me talk about a very big achievement, a unique achievement of the Iranian nation. And it is related to the unique honor of this great nation and their ability to counter the permanent threat against this nation and other nations of the region. I'm addressing the Iranian nation and all the freedom-loving nations of the world. You know that humiliation, threat, and scientific monopoly have been among the instruments of imperialism to have hegemony and dominance over other nations. Through the grace of God, we see that the Iranian nation has been able to defeat the imperialism. And right now, we see that the Iranian nation has found its position, is respected by the rest, and we have a strong sense of self-confidence. And you see that there is no area that is not open to our youth. And we see that every day we are making progress. The story of Iran's nuclear technology is something that everybody knows. With your permission, I would like to say a few words about the launching of the Iranian satellite into the orbit and also the countering of the threat. You all know the launching of the satellite and the technology behind launching a satellite indicates the height of scientific achievement. This is, in fact, the perfection of chemistry, physics, chemistry, physics, math, astronomy, telecommunications, electronics, computers, and many other disciplines and engineering aspects. You know that the technology to launch satellites includes four separate technologies: launching pad, the satellite carrier, ground stations for receiving the signals, and also the satellite itself. Eight countries in the world have the complete technology, and right now the Iranian nation has joined that club. The launching pad for the satellite is one of the most complicated technical devices one can think of. You know that when the satellite carrier is ready to be launched, it is only depending on itself. It has not been supported by anything else. So this launching pad should have such a fine balance that without even, there should be no divergence so that it will be able to launch the missile. I would like to announce here that in spite of the efforts of the enemies, in spite of all the plots they have planned against the Islamic Republic, and they stopped even our scientists from having access to ordinary parts, we have our launching pad, and this is something that is completely designed and built by Iranian scientists and is at the service of Iran's aerospace programs. The second part is related to the satellite carrier. The satellite carrier, which should move against the push of gravity and should go out of the atmosphere. This satellite carrier is very complicated and enjoys advanced technology. The satellite carrier, the rocket which was sent, included two rockets, the primary rocket and the secondary rocket. The primary rocket, after 3 minutes, should ignite the second rocket, after 3 minutes, in fact, at a certain altitude and with a certain speed, the second rocket will be ignited, of course, in the right course and the right direction. The first rocket was completely designed and built by Iranian scientists, and it could carry out its mission perfectly well. And the second rocket is a rocket that is carrying the satellite. That rocket should have the maximum speed. You know that the speed of putting the satellite into the orbit is more than 7,000 meters per second. That is more than 25,000 kilometers an hour. And the second rocket was making use of several engines. And of course, controlling these engines and having a stability for the rocket is a very complicated issue, and it requires advanced technology. We see that the second rocket also performed its duty and moved for 5 minutes and pushed the satellite to the required speed. And remember, this missile has got its own special jacks and springs. And when it reached that specific speed, then the special jacks would be opened and the springs that were installed, and the satellite was put into the orbit with a certain angle compared to the equator, and of course also taking into account the target orbit. I would like to inform you here that both of these rockets, that is the dual stage rocket and also the ballistic missile, the rocket that can go beyond the atmosphere and can move into space, both of them were 100% made by Iranian youth and scientists. The third part is related to ground stations for receiving signals. You know that 2 years ago, we had a remote sensing satellite being built jointly with another country, and that country launched the satellite into orbit, but the ground stations were not given to us by that country. And after the launching, we were informed that we have lost the satellite and we don't have any access to it. Right now, your scientists, your youth, have been able to design ground stations, both stationary stations and mobile ground stations. And these have been completely tested, and they are now operational. And the next part is related to the satellite itself. The satellite technology is very complicated. You know that to design a satellite, it must be in such a way that it might be damaged by the rays of the sun because the temperature would be 400 degrees. And also, another side is the one that is facing the Earth, is minus 40 or 50 degrees. The material used, the dimensions, the antennas, the batteries used, and everything that you have in the satellite and electronic connections in the satellite itself, they are based on advanced technology. And through the grace of God, Omid satellite, which is the first satellite built by the Iranian nation, was designed by our scientists and is now in orbit. Right now, through the grace of God Almighty, Iranian scientists have been able to break through the humiliation and sanctions against the Iranian nation, and they have paved the way for more progress and development. And I want the world to know that the Iranian nation, unlike colonialist and imperialist powers, is looking at science and knowledge for brotherhood, justice, and peace. Let me talk a little bit about the threat of the enemy. You know that one of the main tools of hegemony of the enemy is the threat. They try to present an image of themselves that just by a mere threat or just by the possibility of a threat, they would ask for the surrender of different nations and acceptance of their illegitimate wishes by those nations. For 27 years, they have been threatening to issue sanctions, resolutions, and military aggression, especially in the past few years. We have had their permanent threats. They had their own military arrangements. They were ready to attack. I'm sure that you remember that when at the time of Bush administration, American forces were deployed in the region. They officially announced that the first country would be Afghanistan, the second would be Iraq, and the third will be Iran. And several times, they threatened us with military attacks. They deployed their troops and forces, and every day, they were drumming on the beats. They were beating on drums of war, and to the extent that Zionists, they also started issuing threats, and they said that they will carry out assassinations. They even tried to define frameworks, time frames. For example, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, at midnight, and they expected us to surrender. But I'm right now raising a question here. What is happening? What is the situation right now? And what is our status quo? I would like to announce here that through the grace of God Almighty, through the support of God, and through the resistance of this great nation, the shadow of threat has been removed from the region. Reasoning and logic would work here. They were all together, united. They imposed economic sanctions. We can say one of the toughest types of sanctions you have against the country. They tried to choke our banking system. They brought their military forces and they issued military threats, and they thought that they will be able to bring a great nation, a nation that knows about its potentials and is connected to divine forces and is connected to God, to God Almighty. They thought that they would be able to bring the nation to its knees. Raising this question, you see, they were all united and they could not defeat this great nation, and Iranians could impose their will upon them. Now, which other power in the world will be able to have the courage to issue threats against Iran? I'm sure that it will be impossible that anyone in the future will be able to even think that it will be able to issue threats. And officially here, I'm announcing that right now, Iran is a real superpower. But the Iranian nation is a peaceful force, is for justice, and it tries to be friends of nations. Iran does not have any eye to what other people possess. And on the contrary, we have always tried to help other nations. We would like the world to know that. The Islamic Revolution, in the 30th anniversary of its victory, is like a teenager full of energy and still idealistic, and like a man of 60, full of experience and wisdom. The Iranian nation is right now among the most cherished nations in the world. All the nations of the world are watching the progress you have made, and they think that your progress is their progress. They are happy of your progress. Other nations, they look at you as role models, and this honor and this authority and this permanent removal of threats and this love for the Iranian nation are only through the grace of God. And we should be modest, and I should announce modestly here that all the victories we have had have been due to the special grace of God Almighty. This was God's kindness. The Iranian nation has always been supportive of the leadership with a strong sense of unity. And God Almighty has been regarding this nation with His special grace and kindness. I'm proud to announce here that the victories and achievements we have had, they are all due to the special grace of the 12th Shiite Imam.
I
But the last part of my speech, before I thank you all for being here, I would like the world to know that this revolution belongs to the nation, and all the achievements belong to the nations, and the leadership also is a true representative of the nation, and also he belongs to the Iranian nation. This revolution does not owe anything to anyone or to any group, and individuals and groups and those people who have claims have not played any significant role in the revolution. We are talking about the great nation under divine guidance, and they are the ones who should take the credit. Masses have given martyrs. Tens of thousands of unknown people have made sacrifices, and they have given their lives for this revolution. So we are talking about all the people, all ethnic groups, Azeri speakers, Kurds, Baluchis, people from Sistan province, people from Khuzestan province, and pious Arabs, people from Gilan province, from the north of Iran, from the west, and Persians. They are all members of this great nation. And I want this to go down to history that no one will be able to erase the achievements the Iranian nation has had, and no individual can take credit for these achievements. We are all servants of this great nation, and we are just a drop in this big ocean of being a part of the Iranian nation. The world is changing now, and the world is now at the crossroads of putting behind materialism and bullying. We are at a stage where we see that military power does not result in your being superior or being right. Right now, the world is entering the era of dialogue, intellect. I should like to announce here that the time of the hegemony of power and misbehavior has come to an end, and the era of culture, thought, and dialogue has just started. And the Iranian nation has been one of the pioneers in this new era. Through the grace of God, we see that there is a public tendency toward fairness and justice. I'm addressing the Iranian nation. We have this divine scent in our country, and we see that nations are moving towards being perfect human beings and being guided by divine hand. And the new U.S. administration has announced that it is willing to bring about a number of changes and is now taking the course for dialogue. It is quite clear that real change should be fundamental and not just a tactical change. And it is quite clear that the Iranian nation will greet real changes. The Iranian nation is ready to hold talks, but talks in a fair atmosphere with mutual respect. We have heard that they want to fight terrorism. The Iranian nation for 30 years has been fighting terrorism. And if you want to fight terrorism in practice, come and work a nation, and remember, this nation has been one of the victims of terrorism itself. And this way, we can eradicate terrorism. We can give you the addresses of terrorism cells in European countries, in areas where we have the Zionist occupation is in power, and in some other countries that have very good relations with you. Although it's very unlikely that you do not know about these terrorist activities. If you want to eradicate the root causes of massacres and aggression, let's sit together and see what has been behind the real, the recent wars we have had in the Persian Gulf and the Middle East region, and put the people on trial, the people who have been behind these wars. We know that war was not only because of Saddam. After the Bush administration's war on Iraq, more than 1 million people have been killed, and a few more have been displaced. To deal with the root cause of insecurity, I think that we should go and find the main culprits, including Bush himself and his administration. They must be put on trial. If you want to eradicate crime, let's work together with the Iranian nation and other nations of the world, and let's put on trial the Zionist leaders of the Zionist regime. If you want to fight proliferations of weapons of mass destruction, then you should join us and help us so that we will show you the right way. Yes, we are opposed to nuclear weapons of mass destruction. They are real threats, and they must be destroyed. Iran has been a victim of the use of chemical weapons of mass destruction. But the only way would be justice and the use of appropriate mechanisms. It is quite clear that the measures taken for the destruction of nuclear weapons have not been efficient. If you're really willing to destroy all weapons of mass destruction, if you're really serious to have peace in the world, then you should resort to logical means and you should abide by a sense of justice. We told them that your behavior in Iraq is wrong. They didn't listen. And you see what the consequence was. And right now, they are going through the humiliation that the Bush administration went through. If they really want to have real security, then they should be able to work with us, and then we will be able to revisit the structure of the Security Council. And remember, the Security Council itself is the root cause of discrimination. We should change this structure and then have justice. If you really want to eradicate the use of narcotics, then you should ask us, because more than 3,300 martyrs are the results of fighting drug trafficking in our country. Of this change requires fundamental changes, both in views and in practice. And we hope that this will be something we will see. The world does not want to see the dark age of Bush being repeated. We do not even want the American public to have a sense of shame. I think the fate that befell Bush, and it was a very bad fate, can be viewed as a lesson for most of the people who are dreaming of global hegemony and they want to impose their will upon the rest of the world. And of course, if there are some people who want to repeat the same mistakes, even through other means, they should know that their fate will be even worse than the fate of Bush in the future. The Iranian nation is a friend of all the nations and the governments of the region. Although Iran is a major power, but is a brother of all the nations, especially nations of this region, through the grace of God Almighty, the relations among the Iranian nation and the rest of the nations in the region is quite brotherly. Our enemies do not like to see we have good ties with the rest, so they are trying to impose their will, and some of the governments of the region are encouraged to confront us. They are trying to humiliate certain governments. They are trying to share the responsibility for certain crimes with certain governments of the region. In a brotherly fashion, I'm addressing them. At the beginning of the revolution, when Saddam was committing crimes against our nation, they made a number of mistakes, but later on they regretted the mistake. And of course, the Iranian nation was forgiven and did not remind them of the things they had been doing. In a brotherly fashion, I want to tell them that it's to your benefit not to give in to the temptations of the Zionist forces and colonialist and imperialist powers. If you are with your nations, that would be to your benefit. That will be to your interest. And the Iranian nation will be with you, will be supportive of you, and you should be serving your own country. In the Gaza event, you should have stood by your own nation. But unfortunately, we see that some were deceived by the enemy. They were deceived by Satan, and they broke some nations' hearts. I hope that they will wake up and they will have that strong empathy needed for the nations, and they should know that if they move in a different course, then what we'll see at the end would be defeat and regret. At the end, let's remember our late Imam and our martyrs. Let's salute the spirit of our Imam, our martyrs, and our war veterans, and the families of war veterans and our martyrs, and also the great nation of Iran. And they are the ones who opened this road to us. I would like to thank all the members of this nation, all the individuals, our students, our workers, our farmers, our industrialists, our merchants, our businessmen, our artists, and more specifically, our youth, our boys and our girls. A special thanks to the first generation of the revolution, to the second generation of the revolution, and also a hearty welcome to the third generation and the fourth, who have a better understanding and a deeper root in the revolution, and they are here. We are approaching prayer time. Some prayer to God Almighty. O God Almighty, the Supreme Creator, the Iranian nation has a sense of pride. Please add more to this sense of pride. The Iranian nation, put the Iranian nation on the top, on the peak of scientific development.
Well, there we have it, live from Tehran's Azadi Square, Iran's president.